Fine, we are on sheet number 9. It's not such a long sheet. It won't take us long to get through it. And I know, as I said, that you're a little bit tired. I'll try and finish a little ahead of time and get you all out early for lunch. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to say that. Okay, right, sorry. Let's go. Don't worry, Tom Gedalia. It goes out at 6:55. You'll soon, and you've eaten so much over the last 3 days. You'll all be happy. You'll all be happy. Let's talk about Halacha L'Mashmisi now. Halacha L'Mashmisi now is second of the Rambam's 5 categories. Remember, the first one is the Peirushim HaMekubalim, the psukim that talk about matzah and sukkah and an eye for an eye and all of these things. And we need to know what they mean. So the Rambam, last time we looked at it, he said there's no machlokes on this. We know the halacha already, but sometimes we can learn it back into the pasuk, if you like. Now he's getting to this category, which is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which is completely unconnected to the pasukim. Look at what he says. Let's do this quite quickly. Number one, v'kol inyan she'ein lo hara'a b'katuf. It's got no indication in the pasuk at all. These halachas. V'ein lo semech. There's not even a smach. There's not even a hint. You can't learn it out through one of the rules of drash. On this alone, we say halacha meshmisina, completely separate to the psukim, completely independent body of law.
So
of the psukim, they're not mentioned in the psukim. Nefikach kaashe amara. Therefore, when they said shiurim are the halachic amounts that you have to eat or the size of things in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Hikshinu alzeva amru. They said about the shiurim, there's a discussion there. Eich tam aleim shehem halacha l'moshe misinai. What do you mean the halacha l'moshe misinai? V'halo shiurim yesh lehem horaba pasuk. Isn't there an indication in the pasuk? For all the different shiurim, what is the pasuk? The famous pasuk, Eretz. Chita, Usa'ira, etc., etc. And Chazal in that pasuk, they take each one of the Shivat Haminim, Chita, Sa'ira, Gefen, Sa'ina, Rimon, etc., and they connect it with another Shi'ur, Shi'ur being the amount, like for example, a Chazayit is the amount that you have to eat in order to be able to mix the mats or whatever. Ah, isn't there an indication in the pasuk? Haisa, Tshuva, says the Rambam, the answer is Sheheim Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. I know they are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. You're certainly not learning them out from the pasuk. And there's no indication anywhere in the Torah of them. However, what they sometimes do is they find a siman. Now that's a word he didn't use in the last session. A siman. A siman is literally just a sign, a hook. Something to help you remember it. Kideshi Shamru Vizakru said that you'll remember what it is. Yes, definitely. And I'm going to draw you on the board what I think he's talking about. The Loi Haya Zazer Mikavana Takosa. That's definitely what the Posik means. Vazehu Inyan Amron, that's when they said, Kra, the Posik is Asmachta Ba'alma. This is an important set of words you've come across a few times. What is an Asmachta Ba'alma? So, first of all, what is an Asmachta?
Oh,
right, it's something where we know the halacha, and we kind of connect it to a pasuk. So what's the nasmachta ba'alma? What does ba'alma mean? Who said that? Say it louder.
Always.
Not always, really.
Like
an olam. Yeah, olam, it's from the word olam. But here in Aramaic, it's a Gemara word, it means merely, or only. Okay? Meaning, it's an asmachta ba'alma. It's like a low-level asmachta. It's only an asmachta. B'chol makom shezachru. Whenever it mentions this word, that's what it means. Now, what's the Rambam saying? I think if you analyze the...
Very why is the ba'alma necessary?
Because it's a lower level even than an asmachta. I think the Rambam... Let me clarify what I said last time. I think that for the Rambam, there are three levels. Okay, there are three levels. The first level is what you might call real drash. Real drash is where we start with a pasuk, okay? Pasuk, okay? And we don't know the halacha. We mamash don't know what the halacha. We look in the pasuk, we identify words, we use the midot, okay, like the 13 midot, whatever they are, and we get to a halacha. It's mamash that way around. That's what you call real drash.
That's going to be category number three that the Rambam is going to talk about when he gets to category number three. The second one is, I think, what we talked about last time, which is what he said, Peirushim HaMukubalim, Peirushim HaMukubalim, meaning stuff that we see in the Pasuk. There he talks about Remes, like Abi just said, Remes and Smach. Okay, he used the word Hora'ah, meaning there I think how it works is like this. I said to you last time that we already know the halacha. Fine, so what are we doing? We're learning it back into the Pasuk, but I think the Rambam is saying, but it is there. There is something there in the Pasuk.
It's not coming out of nowhere.
Meaning, there's something in the Pasuk, maybe even it goes this way as well. Maybe you could even correct the diagram that I did last time, that for the second level that he was talking about last time, and as master, you've got the halakha, we're learning it back to the pasuk, but you can learn it both ways. There's something there that you're bringing out. Whereas the third level, where he says, is an asmachta, ba'alma, a mere asmachta. Meaning there's mamash, nothing there. There's nothing in the pasuk. We only have the halakha, and we're literally just connected up as a siman. Now he says the word siman. Siman. Now, we saw the Ritva last time. I don't know if the Ritva would agree with this. The Ritva, bless you. The Ritva last time said, like, chas v'shalom, the psukim have things in them, it's not just a siman. Now, is the Ritva disagreeing on number three as well, or just on number two? I'm not sure exactly whether there really is a disagreement between the Rambam and the Ritva. I always thought there was, but this morning I wondered whether there really was. But the Rambam seems to identify three different levels. Again, on a certain level, we haven't talked about this one yet, which is when you mamash learn things out from the Pesukim, that's real drash. I don't know the halacha, I learn it out from the Pesukim using the Yud Gimel Nidus. The second level is where I know the halacha, I connect it back to the Pasuk, but you could always come the other way as well. There's something in the Pasuk, that's what he calls remez, smach, asmachter, etc. And this asmachter ba'alma means mir asmachter, is where I mamash, there's nothing in the Pasuk, it's just the halacha being connected up through some kind of a siman. It's interesting because according to this, all that stuff we saw last time about, you know, pre-eight hadar, like hydro, all that stuff, and tot and thot and all that stuff, he actually comes in number two. Maybe because there's like something there and you can learn it out, whereas an asmachter ba'alma is just literally a hook. It's a hook to hang something on. There's nothing more than that.
It's like if you're writing shorthand and you just go, like, I don't know, like really weird shorthand. Like,
it is just, right.
You say, you write ABT, and you're like, what's that? And you say, oh, it's about.
Is it, it's regular asmachta in the asmachta?
No, I think not. He uses a regular asmachta, I think.
And
right, exactly. Look at an example. I brought you number three. Just flip over to the side. We'll go back in. Just look at number three, for example. Look at number two and number three. This is talking about the Nitzuch HaMayim. This is very Inyana Diyoma coming up for Sukkot. What is the Nitzuch HaMayim? So someone tell me, what is the Nitzuch HaMayim? What is the Simchas Beit HaShoeva?
Oh,
right, so what do they do every night?
They wear their gold brocade vest.
Okay, and then they go down in the time of the temple, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where did they go down to? They went down, so they had a massive party going. Now you can envision it. You start off at the Beit HaMikdash, you go down to the Shiloach, you know where the Shiloach is, you've all been there. You go down to the Shiloach, they have an incredible party on the way down, they draw the water, they have an incredible party on the way up again, and in the morning of Sukkot, every morning of Sukkot, from the second day onwards, it's just the second day onwards, so they have they pour the water onto the Mizbeach. There's a special hole at the top of the Mizbeach, okay? There's like a little funnel with two things. One is for the wine. The wine is mentioned in the Pesukim. One is for the water, which is this like just one holiday a year where they pour the water. There's no hint anywhere, or rather there's no mention anywhere, of the Nitzuch HaMayim in the Torah. Look in number two, look in the Rambam. Nitzuch HaMayim b'chag, says the Rambam, number two, Nitzuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water on the chag, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. The Yesh L'Seh Ramazim Nistarim. Maybe he's talking about here, Ramazim Nistarim. That's what he means by Asmachta Ba'alma as well. There's a hidden hint in the Pasuk. I mean, it's not really there, but it's hidden there. Ve'elu she'enu ma'aminim b'kabbalah, those who don't believe in the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, enu ma'idim b'kach, will not agree to it, because it's not really what the Pasuk says. In other words, you learn pshat. That's not what the Pasuk says by a long way. Where are these hidden Ramazim Nistarim?
Again, this sounds a bit more like the Ritva than a Siman. Okay, fine, you get into the exact what exactly the Rambam's position is there. But I brought you the famous one for Nisuch HaMayim, which is that when you go through the Psukim in Bamidbar, dealing with the Sukkot holiday, it talks about the different Korbanot on Sukkot, and he uses every time the same phrase, Minchata V'nizka. You have to bring its Mincha. What's a Mincha? A Korban made of? Oil and flour, exactly, we're about to say that. Oil and flour korban, you have to bring this special mincha, this special nisucha yayin. Fine. It uses that expression again and again and again and again and again for each day of Sukkot, and inexplicably, three times it adds an extra letter. Once it adds an extra mem, once it adds an extra yud, and once it adds an extra mem. So you see the extra three letters spell the words maim. Now, that's not where we're learning it out from. We know from Halacha Mishnah, it doesn't even really say that in the Pasuk. It's just a connection that the Rambam calls Ramazim Nistarim, hidden hints. Again, is he saying that it's coded in and we can read it out? Or is he saying we're just learning it as a hook, as a siman? I'm not 100% clear whether he's saying one or the other. Yes. Which one where? Viniskehem. Nachon. Well, the question is, that extra yud could always be, I'm guessing now, okay? That extra yud could always be in or out based on being chaser or male. Meaning, if that extra yud wasn't there, then it would still say vinis kehem. But if you took out the other mem, or the other yud, or the other mem, I'm not sure. It's a good question, Fagi. You'd have to also look at the and see whether there's any other text of the Chumash that doesn't have that extra yud there in terms of chaser or male, because we see that we don't always have exactly the same text when it comes to chaser or male, and that extra yud may be relevant. We saw that last time when I showed you the gematria of Tosafot. There were extra vowels, etc. The yud is the same kind of idea. That's a good question. It's a good question. How does that work? I don't know. But at the end of the day, we're not learning anything out from this. We're just connecting it back. You're saying it doesn't connect 100%. Okay, it connects 88%. You know, fine. That doesn't bother me really. Yes. Two and three. I'm not 100% sure either of the difference between 2 and 3. But I think the difference is like this. In number 2, the Rambam's saying there's really something in the Pasuk. You don't need to learn it out because I know it already. But if you want to, you can. It's there. There's something in the Pasuk that can be learnt out. Whereas in number 3, the Rambam's saying, there's really nothing in the Pasuk. If I want to find things in the Pasuk, it's just because I'm finding patterns to help me try and remember the Halakha. But there's really nothing there. And this Sukhamayim is one of the classics. This extra mem, yud mem, is not really...
memory.
I think so. And again, does the Ritva disagree on that? Good question. Okay? Let's go a little bit. Let's just go back to the list. Look at the list in English that I gave you. There aren't many Halacha L'Moshe Nisinais. There really aren't. The vast, vast, vast majority of the halakhic system falls into category 3, which we haven't even looked at yet, which are the Droshas and the Drabonons 4 and 5. Somewhat in 1, but this is a very short category. The Rambam says, if you look at the second paragraph here, in number 1, he says, V'ani asadelecha, I'm going to set out for you, kan roiv hadinim asher amru behem halacha L'Moshe Nisinais. Most of the halachas that are called halacha Moshe Mishinai, the Esher Shehem Kula, maybe all of them, this is the whole list. Not one of them is really learnt out through drushes. The Esher L'Samful Apostle Ella al Derech Asmachta, you can only connect it up in a very vague way. Kemoshe Bi'arna, as we've explained, V'gam Loi Matunu Ma'olam Dinim B'davar Zeh, Raya B'davar, Ella Niskablu Mi Moshe, they're all accepted from Moshe, etc. And then he lists them. Now, I haven't included the Rambam's list, but I brought you my own list in English. I brought you how many here? 37. These are things that we don't see in the Pesukim, which are Dinim Doraisa, apparently, although some of them turn out to be Drabonons. How does that work? We'll see in a minute. But these are the things that are called Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai. Some of them are very interesting. I mean, all of them are very interesting, but I've highlighted some. Just look at number 2, for example. Reading certain biblical words as though they contain invisible vowels. What on earth does that mean? Kriksiv. We see very often there are kriksivs. What's an example of a kriksiv? What's a classic kriksiv? What does kriksiv mean? You read it differently than how it's written. There's a classic example of a kriksiv, which is the following word, which comes up many times in the Chumash. What does that say?
It can say who or it can say he. Very often it says who, and very often when you read this word, you read it as he. Why are you reading this as he? It says vav, not a yud. That's a Creek sieve. The Shem Hashem is a classic Creek sieve. You don't read yud and a hey and a vav and a hey the way that it's written. You read it a different way. So that's one example of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Here, there are words that are reading what are even there. Or reading words, not reading words which are there. There are certain words that we change. That when you're reading the Pesukim, the Baal Kori reads something very slightly different. They are examples. Other more classic examples is number 5, Shi'urim. Shi'urim means, how do we know it's a Kazayis of this or a Kabetzer of that? That's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Number 7, this is Halacha L'Moshe, this is Inyana de Yoma, the exemption of women from the mitzvah of living in a sukkah. Women are not exempt on a basic mitzvah sasei shezman grama basis. It's not just because it's a time-bound mitzvah for reasons that I don't have time to go into now. Obviously having square boxes for tefillin, breaking Shabbos to save a life, which they try to learn out from Pesukim, but ultimately treats as a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Look at number 12, the prohibition of Orla in Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean? What's Orla? The first, how many years? 3 years of the fruit. So you'd have thought it's the mitzvah of the Aretz, like Shemitah. So it doesn't apply in New York. No, news for you. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, Orla applies midoraisa in New York as well. If you plant a tree in New York, whether it will grow in New York or not is a different question. But you plant a tree in New York so where there's a bit of light and green and air, so it grows the first 3 years that you can't eat the fruit. The fourth year onwards, you can start eating the fruit. Yes.
Question, just kind of like, because if you're talking about breaking Shabbos, like, so that's the three things that you have to die to not do them.
Right.
What if someone's
going to
kill someone else if you don't do that?
Someone is going to murder someone unless you what?
Break one of the three.
So
you're not allowed to break them?
You're not allowed to kill somebody in order to stop someone else murdering someone else. You're allowed to stop, you kill the murderer to stop the murderer killing someone else.
I'm going to kill this
no.
guy.
No.
You have to do the
Avodah Zarah
or you can't do it?
No, you can't do the Avodah Zarah. You can't do the Avodah. If he wants to be a murderer, he can be a murderer, but you can't do the Avodah Zarah.
But like, so fine, you're dying Al-Kiddush Hashem. This guy didn't have to be involved, but if he has to die...
Hey, but you're not killing, you're not killing the other guy. You're not killing the other guy. He's killing the other guy. You're not. He's saying to you, unless you... I know you could stop it. You know, so we're getting, it's off topic.
I know.
A great question, but it is off topic. This happened during the Holocaust. People said to people, you know, you have to kill him, and if you don't kill him, I'm going to kill these 500 people. Can he kill that person to save the 500 people? You know, there's so many examples, unfortunately, tragically, that came up like that. I can't get into it all now. It really is off topic. It's a nice question, but it's off topic. I'm not going to go through all of these, obviously, but some of them are well known. The third wall of the sukkah, the walls of the sukkah, the mechitzas of a sukkah, not the mechitza in shul between the men and the women, the mechitzas of the sukkah, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Meaning the walls, mechitza just mean a wall. It doesn't mean a separation between something. It just means the mechitza, the walls of the sukkah. Chatzitza, what's chatzitza? Right, when you're washing your hands and you have a ring on, yeah? Or if you go to the mikveh and there's a hair on the skin, you go to the mikveh, what's the mikveh lady there to do? She's not just there to drive you nuts and to, you know, make you miserable. That's not what she's there to do at all. She's there to check to see when you go into the mikveh, is there a hair sitting on the skin that's like a loose hair from somewhere else sitting on the skin? It invalidates the whole mikveh. She's there to check the person. That's also Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That's why it's quite a whole business, going to the mikveh. It's not something you can do in 3 minutes. It's something that takes preparation and takes some kind of hashgacha. The 39 Malachas on Shabbos, that's obviously very famous as well. Just go over the play page for a second. There's all sorts of stuff regarding sukkah, good achit, you don't know what these things are, maybe, but if you learn Hilchos Sukkah, which I'm not going to do now, you'd know what they are. The fact that tefillin are made of leather, the water service in the sukkah, so I told you that before, the fact you can do Brit Milah on Shabbos, there's all sorts of stuff that are in there. And these are all called Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Fine. Very nice. Sometimes what happened is the Yecheskel or whoever it is came later and wrote a pasuk to clarify or to bring out, if you like, into the open Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. I brought you here, if you look at number 5 for a second, there's a whole shaila in the Gemara in Yuma that it says that the Kohen Gadol's clothes have to be made of, Kohen's clothes have to be made of sheish. Sheish means what? What does sheish mean?
The
I don't mean six.
But you can't have clothes made of six.
Linen.
Oh, so that's the shadow. What does shesh mean?
It says in the Sukkim all the time that things have to be made of shesh. Yeah, in Eshchai it's talking about. What's that? No, in the Pasuk it says the word shesh many times. And it says the Kohanim have to have clothes made of shesh. What is that? So the Gemara number 5 identifies shesh with linen. So how do we know? We know from a Pasuk in Yecheskel. So the Gemara says what? So how did they know before Yecheskel? If it comes from a Pasuk in Yecheskel, what did they do for the 600 years between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yecheskel? So what does the Gemara answer? Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. And what did Yecheskel do? He wrote a Pasuk to hint to the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. See, he had the luxury to be able to write the Pesukim. Because he's a Navi. Okay? We only have the luxury to be able to read the Pesukim. But he actually wrote the Pasuk. In other words, there are many things that were Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai from before that got put into, if you like, Pesukim afterwards, but they're really Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Not a lot of things, a few things. Yes, it is exactly Torah Shebal, pure Torah Shebal Peh, but it sometimes feeds into Torah Shebichtav. Now, don't get confused. The expression Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai can sometimes mean other things. Just look at these few cases. Look at number 6, 7, 8, and 9. Look at number 6 for a second. The Mishnah in Yadayim, what does Yadayim deal with?
Hands.
What's to do with your hands? Netilat Yadayim, washing hands for various different, eating different things that you had a Doraita obligation to, well, it's the Rabbanon to wash hands, but they had sometimes the right to get the mikvah, whatever. So he says like this, number 6, here's an example. Mekubal ani mi Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it says here, I have a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Sekhaki Beis HaMikdash. Shishama mi Rabbi, he heard from his rabbi. For Rabbi mi Rabbi, ad halacha l'moshe MiSinai, all the way to halacha l'moshe MiSinai. What is this halacha? She Amon u'moav masri mase ani b'shvias. That Amon and Moav take mase ani in shvias. Now what on earth is going on? What's shvias? Shmita year. Fine. Do we take Tumas and Maestros in Shmita year, yes or no?
No,
we do not. If the land is Hefka, the land is not subject to Tumas and Maestros. However, where are Amon and Moab? Where are they? Chutz La'aretz. But they're not Chutz La'aretz like Brooklyn. They're Chutz La'aretz like neighboring states. Chazal made a din to Rabbonon that even during Shmita year, you have to take some kind of Maestro from these places. You know how Trumas and Maestros work. I'm sure you know how Trumas and Maestros work. Whenever you grow produce in Eretz Israel, and to some degree Drabonon in neighboring countries, certainly not in America, certainly not in England, there's no Trumas and Maestros. But when you pick an apple off the tree in Eretz Israel, you have to give Trumas and Maestros. Truma goes to who? To the Kohen. Okay, in theory. How much? This is a bit of revision of your Trumas and Maestros. How much Truma do you have to give to the Kohen? No.
100.
No.
60.
Maybe. 100%. The answer is...
Truth only 40 and 60.
Right. Very good. The answer is actually midoraita, you can give anything. Just a even tiny little bit. Chazal fixed between a 40th and a 60th, you give it to the Kohen. Why don't we give it to the Kohen today? What do we do with the Truma today that you take? If you go pick some apples and you take Truma, what do you do with it? You don't burn it. You chuck it in the garbage. You wrap it up and you throw it away. Why don't we give it to the Kohen? That's a good answer. That is a good answer. You didn't think it was, but it's a good answer. What do you mean by the fact that there's no Kohen? You don't need to have a bit of meat just to eat truma.
The Kohen have it inside
income. Fine, so that doesn't mean they can't eat the truma. Maybe they...
Exactly.
Right, first of all, as Aria said, we don't 100% know who the Kohen is. That's true. That's true, but your Michael, when you give him the money, that even if you're not a real Cohen, then, you know, you can have the money. But what choice do we have? There are people that... There are people, the Vilna Gaon was well known, that every time he was a Bechor, okay? Every time he found a Cohen that he thought was more Miyuchas, what does Miyuchas mean? We're more connected to what? To the Beis HaMikdash, meaning there are some Kohanim that they can trace their lineage directly back to the Beis HaMikdash. There are Kohanim with family trees that go back to the Beis HaMikdash. These are called, or names that know, are known to be Kohanim Miyuchasim. If you marry a guy called Rappaport, the chances are that he's a Kohen Miyuchas. The Vilna Gaon, I don't know about every time, but frequently, even though he did... I understand. I mean, maybe there's a difference between them. Maybe the Vilna Gaon would do Pidyon Atzmo himself. I actually had this conversation with my son. My son's a Bechor. And we did Pidyon Aben with him when he was obviously a month old. But the question is now, is there a chumrah for him to do pidyon haben again on himself with someone he actually knows is very close to a family Rappaport? So I said to him, maybe you should ask a Shaila whether he has to do a pidyon again and again and again and again and again and again. I mean, he can use his money, not using mine this time. I did my bit the first time. But anyway, I think it's a big chumrah. I think the Vilna Gaon didn't do it because a lot, it's a chumrah. Fine. So, konim miyuchasim. So we don't give it to the konim because we don't know who they are. And also, because what? Even if we did know who they are, what's the problem? What can't they, what are they, why are they unable to eat truma? They're tame. How can you get them tahor? You can't. You can't. So they're stuck. We need a para aduma, we don't have one, the konim are tame. By the way, there's one thing you can do with the food, if you can't give it to a Kohen, there is one thing you can do to help the Kohen with the food, which is what? You can give it to his? No, his kids are also Tame. His pets. You can give it to a Kohen's animal. So if you know a Kohen that owns an animal. No, animals cannot be Tame. A live animal can never be Tame. Which is why, by the way, and I kid you not, all the animals in the Jerusalem Biblical Zoo are owned by a Kohen. And the animals are fed truma.
Are you serious?
Oh. This is a holy animal.
You never seen those holy monkeys?
No.
They're holy Kohen monkeys. You see, they're like normal monkeys go like this. These monkeys go like this. No, all that the animals are. So they feed, when they have mass industrial trumas and masses, it's not like you and I taking, you know, a little bit off the apple and putting it in the garbage. They're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, tons of stuff. They give some of that stuff to the animals. What they don't give to the animals is all the wine from the Carmel winery.
Well, you don't want trumas monkeys.
That would be funny if they did. But what they do with the wine for the trumas and masses, you should go there one day for the ceremony, they open up the taps on the massive barrels of wine in the winery there to take Trumas and Maestras, and the Trumas goes whoosh, down into the valley, all this wine going down into the valley, and they take off a certain amount for Trumas and Maestras. Fine, so you give Trumas to the Kohen, you give Maestras to the lady, Maestras is a tenth, that's easy, that's what Maestras means, you give Maestras Shani to yourself, and you eat it in Yerushalayim, and sometimes Maestras Oni, you give to the poor. So Chazal made a drabonon. You give Maise Oni in the Shemitah year in Amon and Moab. I'm not getting into why exactly that is. So what do you mean this is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai? How can this not, why can this not be Halacha L'Moshe Sinai?
Because there was no Amon.
Well, there was, but where is Halacha from? What did I just say? From the rabbis. And what does Halacha L'Moshe Sinai imply?
It's
from Moshe. So look at what the Rabbi Vadim about the Dura says on the Mishnah. He says, Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, Lav Dafka. What does Lav Dafka mean? This is very important. Two words comes up all the time. Lav Dafka. What does that mean? How would you explain that in English? Lav Dafka.
It's not exactly what it means.
Very good. Jessica. It's not exactly what it means. It's not literally. It means not literally so. Lav dafka halacha l'moshe Sinai. De ain't a minat Torah, it's not minat Torah. Ele ke'ilu, ke'ilu, hi halacha l'moshe Sinai. It's ke'ilu, what's ke'ilu? It's as if, it's like. You know, one of my friends is very funny. Kids say this all the time. One of my friends had a funny story that they went to a parents' evening at the school. The kid was like 3 years old. Abby, you can turn it down to 23 now. Higiyazma. They went to parents' evening at the school. That'll do. They went to parents' evening at the school, and the school said to the father, oh, we're glad you're here. This is in Israel. Would you like to give all the children Birkat Kohanim? So the father said, well, I don't mind, but I'm not a Kohen. He says, what do you mean you're not a Kohen? So he says, well, I'm not a Kohen. He says, but your son says he's a Kohen. The kid is 3 years old and again began. So what do you mean? He goes, every day we do Birkat Kohanim, like a play thing. We have like a Shabbos mummy and Shabbos daddy, and we have like a Kohen, and then your son gives them Birkat Kohanim every day. Says he's a Kohen. So they went home and they spoke to the son, and they said to him, what's going on? How come you're telling them you're a Kohen? You know you're not a Kohen. So the kid says to them, he says, look, maybe he was 4 or 5, he says, look, everything in Gan is Ki'ilu. I'm not really a Shabbos daddy, and she's not really a Shabbos mummy. It's not even really Shabbos, the kid says. So they asked, is anybody here a Kohen? So I said, yes, because he's Ke'ilu. So he's a Ke'ilu daddy, and I'm a Ke'ilu Kohen.
He's so smart, really cute.
Yeah. Smart kid, huh? So, Ke'ilu, it's not really Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. It's not really Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. It's the, what does it mean? So look at the Rosh. So I brought you this Rosh in number 9. What does the Rosh say here? This is actually worth knowing because people make this mistake sometimes. He says here, you never found a real halacha Moshe Mishina with a psul mikveh. And he says in the middle of the line, b'im yeshna, if you do find the phrase used, b'shum makam, in any place, yeshna farsha kamo halacha Moshe Mishina amun umoa. It's a bit like the halacha Moshe Mishina phrase used for the amun umoa of Masre, Masre, Ani B'Shviyitz. The Bebrayth Masechet Chagiga, he brings a reference to Chagiga. The eina ela kaloimar, as if to say, davar borur, it's something which is fixed and clear, kahalochal Moshe Mishina. Meaning we use the phrase halachal Moshe Mishina sometimes for something which is not actually a halachal Moshe Mishina, but it's so clear, so unanimous, so fixed, so clear and, if you like, settled, that we give it ke'ilu halachal Moshe Mishina. So just be aware when you see the phrase halachal Moshe Mishina, it doesn't necessarily mean this was a piece of halacha that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. There are other ways of understanding that as well, which are brought down and understood in the Mefarshim. Which what? The Rosh, no, in number 9, the Rosh is going off a Mishnah in Mikvos. There, does it say halacha l'moshe mishina? I don't think so there. He's just referring back to the thing about Ammon and Moab. Yes, Joy?
Why is that okay? How come they can use, that's so misleading.
Okay, so it's not misleading when you know the Mefarshim and you understand it. The word, the expression halacha l'moshe mishina means something which is very clear. It's a little bit misleading, I agree. But no one's trying to mislead anybody, because otherwise the Rosh wouldn't be writing this. He just wants you to understand. On the contrary, he wants you not to be misled, and wants you to understand that it's not.
But
after
the Rosh wrote this, will people misled?
Well, except that when you read the Mishnah and you see a halacha drabonon, on which it says halacha l'moshe mishinai, what are you meant to think?
Confusion?
Well, you either have to decide that really this isn't drabonon, it's halacha l'moshe mishinai, or the halacha l'moshe mishinai doesn't really mean 100% that, it's lav dafka.
But then what does it mean?
It means something which is really... Sometimes it means from Moshe, and sometimes it means something which is really clear and absolutely undisputed in that sense.
But
you're saying they should call it something else?
Like, no, I'm saying, what do you mean it's really clear and undisputed?
Meaning this was a halacha that came down from the Sanhedrin, there was no debate, there was no dissension, there were no minority opinions. This is something which is clear, and therefore we give it the expression halacha l'moshe mishinai. Just be aware that that comes up sometimes. Sometimes it is the Rabbanon. Sometimes it can be. But almost by definition, a Rabbanon cannot have come down from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, can it?
If it comes from the Sanhedrin.
Right, that will usually be Rabbanon.
Is it like a halacha that they create?
So we'll talk about that more when we do 3, 4, and 5, when we get there, okay, in terms of the categories of the Rambam. We'll talk about that. We'll get there, don't worry. Let's just do one or two other things and then we'll finish off. Let's just first of all talk about Machlokas. Is there machlokas in halacha l'moshe mishinai? Esti?
I don't understand why you don't just call it something else.
I don't have an answer to that question. Why don't they call it something else? Why does the same expression get used for two different things? I'm not sure. But the Rosh is very clear that halacha l'moshe mishinai, it's clear from the Mishnah as well, that you can't take it literally and it'd be a drabonon at the same time. Those two things don't. Well, what's your suggestion?
I don't know.
Well, the truth is that the Rav Avadya by Batanura does give another answer in number 7, where he says maybe actually does come from halacha l'moshe mishinai, in which case how can it be a drabonon? He doesn't answer that. Is he saying it's not really drabonon? It's really deraisa. It came down all the way, and like the rabbis just gave it a stamp later, meaning it really is halacha l'moshe mishinai. Maybe the reason that he gives two answers, he's also not happy with that answer. Whenever someone gives two answers, it's usually because the first answer is not satisfactory. So maybe you're right to feel a little bit, sometimes not every answer is like blow away as an answer. But you have to answer it somehow because it uses the phrase and it doesn't seem to mean that. Let's talk about machlokas for a minute. Yeah, everybody still awake?
Yeah?
Let's talk about machlokas. Is there machlokas with halacha l'moshe mishinai? The Rambam said no. The problem is, if you go through the Gemara, you'll find yes. So what are we going to do with the Rambam? So we have a couple of choices. Either we can say, well, the Rambam didn't mean that, he meant this, or we can say that the Rambam's wrong. Let's have a look. Look at number 11. The Rambam says in number 10, Divrei Kabbalah, this is in Hilchos Mamrim, Divrei Kabbalah, Ein Bahem Machlokas La'olam.
things that are received as a Kabbalah, part of Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, we never have a machlokas. Ma'olam, la'olam. Kol dava shetim saboy machlokas. If you find a machlokas, biyadua, you know for sure, she'enu Kabbalah b'Moshe Rabbeinu, that this doesn't come straight from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam is very explicit. But of course he's now put down set down a challenge for everybody else to see if he's really right. So have a look at number 11. The Chavetz Yair, we haven't had him before. I would have put a picture of him, but I didn't have one. I did put a picture of the Chasam Sofa, although it hasn't come through very well on the text, but it's a famous picture of the Chasam Sofa. The Chavetz Yair didn't have any pictures. He lived a bit too early for portraits and things. The first photograph, by the way, was taken in which year? Just so you should know this. This piece of important general information. 1824 there's the first what we could modern day call some kind of photograph. Before that you're back to portraits and things.
Who took the first picture of the first camera?
Yeah, I've seen that thing on the camera.
Well,
the picture that this was the first
camera.
No, obviously later on they took a picture. The second camera took a picture of the first camera. But they drew it. Ladies, look at number 11. She Torah Shebal Peh who drushes Chazal. What is Torah Shebal Peh? It's drushes from Chazal. What I call number 3. Remember, whenever I use these shorthands, you try to stay excited because it's a fast way. Okay? You know what that means, okay? That's like a secret code for this class. If I write that on the board, you know what that means.
No.
See? Yes.
I wasn't there.
Oh, but we'll have to talk about it afterwards. This is all Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai and stuff from Sinai. This is drushes and this is drabonim. Says the Chavetz Yair, everyone knows that most of it's number 3. Halachas me'apsukim, ubu drushes, ha'hein ba'im ma'machlokas, and therefore there's machlokas. Mara mahachi, this rabbi says this, umara mahachi, and another rabbi says that. Vezekimach kol Torah Shebal Peh. This is almost the whole of Torah Shebal Peh. 3 and 4 and 5 probably as well. Zulat gargarim. Apart from gargarim, what are gargarim? It's a gargar. A seed. Apart from a few little seeds, he says. Eze halacha shehem halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Just a few sprinklings of halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So it is very clear that most of the halachic system is not halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Ve'ein behem machlokas, and he's quoting the Rambam, he says there's no machlokas, v'lo shichra, nobody forgets anything, mamash, kedasa Rambam. Mikol makom, he says, nevertheless, and he's about to say something a little bit controversial. Yes. It directly, but it is Torah M'Sinai in the way that Torah M'Sinai works in a more indirect way, which we'll see when we get there. Abby, we haven't got there yet. Don't worry, we'll talk about 3, 4, and 5. 3 is still Doraita, even though it's not directly from Sinai. Let's have a look. So look, he's now going to quote Tosfos. Now Tosfos, the Rambam was Sephardi. Tosfos are French, which are Ashkenazi. He said, Mikol Mokam. Yesh Leimar, you could argue, the Tosfos, Lo Sviru Luhu Kavase. Tosfos don't hold by this. So who are we going to go by? Tosfos say there is machlokes in Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The Rambam says there isn't. So he says, V'chalilili, God forbid for me, that I should lahachnis roshi ben aharim, to put my head between the mountains. You ever came to that expression before? What does it mean to put your head between the mountains? He says, I'm not getting involved in a fight between the Rambam and Tosfos. Little me, he says, although he's a big me, in the 17th century. And he says, La'achriya mitzvara loyma shmua zenaya. Rak de'ein lanu litchois divrei gavra mibrei dav. We can't push people off against other people. The halai kasav harosh, doesn't the Rosh write in the tshuva, she kabbalah biyadena, that we have a kabbalah in our hands. You might not like this if you're Sfardi. Okay? She chachmei tzarfat, that the rabbis of France, heim abalei atosfos, hayu muflagimu gedoilim yosem aramba.
Say what?
Don't we have a Kabbalah? Moshe was Sfardi. I have a Sfardi uncle. And he says, my Sfardi uncle says to me, he says to me, look, he said, let's not fall out over this. Ashkenazim daven the way Ashkenazim daven, and Sfardim daven the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. It's very straightforward. So he says very straightforward. He says that we have a Kabbalah from the Rosh, that the Valei HaTosfos were greater than the Rambam.
Yeah,
he just did. He just totally just said that. Okay? And he says, the spirit, I'm not telling you that you have to agree with him, but I'm telling you that there is such a view out there. The spirit lay la Tosfos, and the Tosfos hold. Devada shai shikha ba halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So in other words, maybe halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is a question. about machlokas. That's why, by the way, who's got sheet number 5?
When I do that little chart, or maybe 6, you've got them all sorted? Oh, I didn't mean 5.
5 or 6.
6, I meant 6. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
I can't
find my way around.
Oh, I meant 7. Here, remember this chart I gave you? Remember this? This little thing we never really looked at in class? So this little chart here, where it says the different categories, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, so it says Perish HaMukabel Machlokes, it says Ein. Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it says Ein in brackets. Why do you put Ein in brackets? Because it's a machlokes about whether there's machlokes. Okay?
Wait, who came first? Moshe or Rambam?
They were contemporaneous. Moshe.
But of course we don't, the Rambam's very upset about that, because if there is, don't forget guys, let's not get this out of proportion. There isn't much Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai for there to be machlokes about. But if there is machlokes about Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it does mean that something has got forgotten along the way, which the Rambam's very unhappy about saying. Again, most of the Torah is not Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but there is this debate about whether there can be machlokes or not. Let's just finish off. Yeah, for sure, but that, of course, that makes sense. Of course there's machlokes in Drabonon. We haven't even done Drabonon yet. Yeah, we're talking about Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai now. Yeah, for sure. No, there are bonus different category, 4 and 5. Definitely not Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. We'll talk about this. It's the same question you're obviously bothering you, this question, which is good. It's good it's bothering you. We'll come to that when we get there. Let's just finish off this little discussion about Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and then we can all go off and do what we do next. Yes, what? Yes, it sounds like Tosfos is saying that some things were forgotten, and the Rambam doesn't like that because he feels that this is undermining the Masorah. What do you mean, where's Tosfot? You mean, I didn't... He quotes Tosfot. He quotes Tosfot. You want to see the original Tosfot?
No.
Yeah, he brings Tosfot as a sheet, because he quotes the Rambam, ladies, he quotes the Rambam, and then he says, you should know that's not the whole story. I'm just bringing you this, I'm just raising this for you to know. Zeloko tach pashut she'ein machloke ba'aloch l'mashe
mitzvah. Moshe was Sfardi, if he didn't have Sfardi...
Excuse me, Abi Levi said that Moshe was Sfardi. I never said that.
Fine,
that's now down, that's now recorded on the internet for all time.
How can one say?
Abby,
one say?
You're famous for all time.
How can one say that? They didn't have Ashkenazi's fight.
You can fight it out with Abby later on.
From Spain. He's not sure what I'm
ladies?
Spain.
He was born here.
But,
ladies, we digress.
Yes.
Now, let's just look at the last little thing. And then I'll let you go. I know I keep telling you it's the last little thing, but it really is the last little thing. Okay? Just go to F and G, and then we'll finish with that. F is spotting a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, like a little guide as to how to spot them when they come up. There are certain phrases that indicate Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. I've listed them. Be'emet Amru. Sometimes it says in the Mishnah, Be'emet Amru, they truly said. Gemira, Hilchasa Gemirala, Gemara Gemirala, or Halacha, or Nemru L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, or Halacha Mi-Piyah Kabbalah, or Mi-Piyah Shmuah, these are all phrases which are used to indicate Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And again, usually Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai means that we have a direct tradition from Sinai, although as you know now, it can sometimes mean that it's just an old established tradition which is Lav Dafka from Sinai. But where someone does have a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that is a very important trump card. You know what I mean by a trump card? You ever play bridge? When you play bridge and you have a trump, there's a suit which is... I'm not getting into the whole thing now. Anyway, it's a card that wins, alright? It's a card that wins. I'll teach you to play bridge another time, okay?
Really?
No, probably not, actually. But it's just... Maybe. Maybe not in class time, for sure. So, if you look at this very interesting Gemara in Yevamos, and we'll finish with this because it's quite dramatic, in 15 and 16, you see there's an argument about David HaMelech. David HaMelech comes and he slaughters Goliath, and the promise which has been made, or he kills Goliath, the promise which has been made by Shaul HaMelech to David HaMelech, or David to be the Melech, it's just David for now, David Ben Yishai, is what? What would he get as a prize if he kills Goliath? Ladies.
Oh, he's done.
his daughter. I knew you knew that. He'll get to marry the princess, okay? If he kills Goliath. So comes along David HaMelech and he says, right, killed Goliath, here's the head, let's make the chuppah. And says the Gemara, now there's a whole big argument, which is, wait, one second. Is David HaMelech even Jewish or not? Is David even Jewish or not? Why? Because his great-grandmother is Ruth, Hamoaviyah. And a Moaviyah is a Moabite, and there's a whole question, is she allowed to marry into the Jewish people? Can she convert? Look at number 15, says the Mishnah, Amoni u'Moavi asurim v'isuran v'isur olam. An Ammonite and a Moabite are ossed to join the people of Israel, and their issa is forever. Means it doesn't go away after a few generations. It lasts forever, like Mamzei Ruth. So? So his dad was... So his mother was kosher, his mother was Jewish. So he was on his dad's side, but it may still be a psul. He may still have a din of a... Mamzerus also comes down from your dad's side, and it's still... No, but if a Moabiyah, if having Moabite blood in you is a little bit like Mamzerus, it's a psul that goes through the generations, so what if the mother was a kosher Jew, so if the father was a Moabite, then he's got the Moabite genes. Mamzerus passes through male and female lines. Absolutely. So if, let's say if your mother's, everyone was Jewish, but your father was a Mamzer, so the kid's a Mamzer.
Oh, yeah, though.
Oh, so let's go, let's look at it. One second, yes.
So didn't we learn last week, that apparently that if you convert, then you're no longer halachically related to each other or something like that?
That's right.
So if Ruth converted to Judaism, then she's no longer halachically related to Naomi, and so then the whole business of doing Yibum with what's his name? Boaz wouldn't even apply. So then she's marrying someone under the guise of Yibum, and the Yibum isn't even...
It's not a real Yibum. It's not with a brother-in-law anyway. It's a Keilu Yibum.
There
clearly is a Yibum theme going through the parsha there, but it's not halakhically Yibum that they're doing. It's more Ga'ula.
What is he doing?
There's no brothers-in-law left. You can only do Yibum with a brother-in-law. There are no brothers-in-law. It's called Ga'ula. It's called Ga'ula. He's redeeming the field, and it's not an obligation, as Hannah said. It's not an obligation. He wants to marry her as like a chesed, etc. It's more than just symbolic. It's very clear, by the way, that the whole parsha of Ruth and Boaz parallels very, very strongly the parsha of Tamar and Yehuda. Very strongly. It's very interesting. There's a very interesting parallel between the parshas there and how the word Yibum works. But I'm not getting into that now. Aval nekevosehem mutaras miyad. But says the Mishnah, ladies. Give me your attention for 5 minutes. Says the Mishnah, the women Moaviyot are mutar immediately. Women Moaviyot have no problem. Mitzri v'adomi, and then it talks about a Mitzri, etc., etc., how that works. Now, they say, look at the last line, Amrulai, im halacha, so they said there was a whole debate about how that works. It said, im halacha, if this is a halacha, nekabel, so we'll accept it. This idea about the Moabite women being kosher. If this is a halacha l'moshe misin, I will receive it. The imdin, then if it's a din, meaning, just wait, if it's a din, then we will yesh tshuva. We can argue on it, meaning, we're not going to accept it, we're going to argue with it. Amalehim, he said to him, loiki halacha ani oimah. I'm telling you a halacha l'moshe misin, I'm telling you a halacha that comes down, and he won the day, and the Gemara fills in exactly what happened. If you look here, number 16, we really will finish with this. He says like this, Shal Amrulele said to him, Amoni velo Amonit. It's a, like you said, it's a male, not a female. Moavi velo Moavia, or Moavit. The Ikshale Doyek, Kol Hani Kushis, Doyek, who was the bad guy. Doyek's asking all these questions. He's trying to pastel David HaMelech, to not let him marry into the kingly family. He's asking all these questions, Ishtiku, and they had no answer. They had no answer. They weren't able to answer the questions. What's that? Yivamot is Gemara. It's a Masechta of Gemara. Boilach Zurei Aleah. They were about to announce that David HaMelech was not kosher, that he was not able to marry into the king's family, not even Jewish maybe. Miyad, and then what happens? It says the Pasuk, that Amasa ben Ish, there was a guy called Amasa, relative of David, Ushmo Yitra HaYisraeli, the son of a man called Yitra HaYisraeli, Asheba El Avigal Bat Nachash, and later this man, Yitra HaYisraeli, is called Yetah HaYishmaeli. So why is he a Yisraeli and a Yishmaeli? So Amar Rava, Rava explains, Malamed Shechaga Charbuk Yishmael, he lifted up his sword like a Yishmaeli, as if to say,
guys, this is not a joke anymore. Va'amar, and he said to them, Kol mi she'enu shomea halacha zo, if you don't agree with this halacha, yidake b'cherev, I'm going to run you through with a sword. It's a good way to win an argument, right? Okay. But then he backs it up and he says, kach, excellent. Kach mukublani mi beis dino shel Shmuel haramati. I have mamasha kadola le Moshe mi Sinai from Shmuel haramati, Shmuel hanavi, amoni velo amonit, moavi velo moaviat. Meaning, halacha le Moshe mi Sinai beats any kind of argument as long as you can show that you have a real kabbalah, a real tradition, and therefore he won the day, and David HaMelech became David the king of Israel eventually based on that. Okay, thank you very much for your patience. Wish you a good day.
We learned before that, like, halacha Moshe Mitzvah is this thing that's like past. All right.